Welcome back to the Sit It section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to continue our free agent talk, which is now in 3 minutes will be exactly 3 weeks away. So we're right on it here. We're going to continue to talk about the running backs here that we were talking about before the break. The one that we're going to really talk about is Maurice Jones-Drew, a veteran running back. He's well-respected around the league, a guy who's put in a lot of years and has put a lot of productive years in the league. Came into the league, split snaps with Fred Taylor, was still really productive, and then took over after Fred Taylor left, and you know the offense didn't miss a beat. Where do you think this guy? I mean, can we all agree that do both of y'all think that he's out? That he's out of Jacksonville? Do you think he's on his way out?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so where do you think? I mean, you know, he's going to want to go to a contender.
Mm-hmm.
What team is in need of a solid veteran, or just a solid running back that you think is a good fit for him?
All right, I got one right here. The Giants, I'm going to make the plea to Maurice Jones-Drew right here that the Giants need him because the Giants had one of the worst rushing teams in the league last year. We had David Wilson, we had Andre Brown that we pretty much waited half the season for him to come back. And he was productive, but he's no number one guy. But he needs to go to a team like the Giants because we've seen if they have a solid running game that makes Eli feel better, and then there's not as many interceptions, and we can win a Super Bowl by a solid running game and then building up the defense through the draft. I think he goes to a team like the Giants that are a hard-running team, and I don't think there's many options outside of maybe the Giants and who wants to really pay him. The Giants said that they'll put money behind a free agent running back.
I think the Giants are a steady option. He kind of represents the same sort of bruising style that Brandon Jacobs brought to their Super Bowl team back in 2007. I think another good fit for him, I guess we're a little bit of homers on this. You picked your favorite team, I'm going to pick mine. I think the St. Louis Rams are a decent pick for someone like that. That's a team that's built around defense. It's finally going to get some playmakers at the skill position. You see Tavon Austin. You see we talked about them potentially making a change at the quarterback position. You get a team that's built on defense and has a good, solid, hard-nosed running game. He could come in, be the thunder to Zach Stacy's lightning, potentially, for the next couple years. That would be a solid running tandem to back a good defense, and that's how the Seattle Seahawks won a Super Bowl this past year. So it seems like a good fit from where I'm sitting.
I think a good fit for him would actually
not
be...
Not Atlanta, right?
No, not Atlanta. I think Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't be a bad fit for him. No. And, you know, this is a team that, you know, they haven't really made any noise. They do have to sign Emmanuel Sanders, which we'll talk about him. He's been he's a free agent here, and they don't want to lose their top two. They just lost Mike Wallace last year, and they don't want to lose Sanders again. They haven't really had a steady running game really since Rashard Mendenhall kind of fell off. Obviously they had Jerome Bettis, then Willie Parker, and then Rashard Mendenhall, and that's been on the Steelers teams that have been good and have made runs into the playoffs and won Super Bowls here of the last decade. It's been predicated on a good run game, and I feel like they've gotten too pass centric. Roethlisberger's a good quarterback, but when they were winning and winning big, their two Super Bowl wins. Roethlisberger wasn't throwing for 4,000 plus yards every year. You know, he was throwing. You know, it was a very balanced offense, and I feel like that it's gotten a little pass centric in the last few years. And I feel like that would be a good fit for them because this is a team that I feel like could easily just get right back to the playoffs this year.
Does Maurice Jones-Drew start over Le'Veon Bell if he goes to the Steelers right now?
Yeah.
I feel like that it would be a good mix for them, though.
It'd be a really good 1-2 punch because I like the way Le'Veon Bell runs. He's mm-hmm. a very athletic running back and makes a lot of really good plays. It'd be a prototypical thunder and lightning sort of combination.
And I feel like that would be getting back to the Steelers' roots. I mean, I feel like Jones-Drew fits into kind of the persona that the Steelers like there in their organization, and I feel like he would provide a lot of good leadership to that locker room and those young running backs that they have there. So I feel like that would be probably the best fit. We're gonna move into wide receivers. There's a lot of big names here. There seems like there always is, but this offseason specifically has a lot of just solid receivers in it. You got Eric Decker, whose career has taken off since Peyton Manning's gotten there, which I think that's one of the reasons why he would be ignorant to leave the Denver.
Well, also, Tim Tebow didn't help him in Denver at all.
Well, Decker was all right when Tebow was there.
That's what I mean. He was okay. Like he was better than Thomas at that time. People will rather have him.
Well, the thing is though, Demaryius Thomas has a lot of talent, and I think that was. People could see that. Demaryius Thomas, I think, could now leave and go be a number one on just about any team in the league. Eric Decker can't do that, and that's why I don't think anybody should pay him as a number one receiver like he's wanting. He's wanting money in the $10 million range, and I think all the Broncos really are willing to give him is about $6 million. And that's a big difference there. That $4 million gap. And you've seen throughout Peyton Manning's career, he's been able to take guys who were average players and turn them into good talents. I mean, you've seen that with
Brandon Stokely,
a lot of guys like that. So I'll be interested to see if anyone does give him money. Eric Decker's a good player, but I don't know if he's worth $10 million. Jeremy Maclin's an interesting one. I feel like he will be re-signed by Philadelphia because I think Chip Kelly was very excited to see what for him to fit into the scheme and see what he could do. The one that I'm interested to see is Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Had the big year in New England, but here's the thing, though. If they do re-sign him, they may be forced to cut Danny Amendola.
Well, then they want to do that because Edelman was more productive than Amendola, and he doesn't get injured as much. So I would rather put
spent all that money on Amendola.
But if you put them next to each other this year.
But they would be forced to pay Amendola all that money that they just spent on him.
Amendola, I think, is a better receiver.
But he's been injured constantly. That's why I said when they signed him.
Not constantly, just the last year and a half.
Not the last year. No, he had all those history problems before he even got to New England.
He had one year where
you're talking to a Rams fan here. You're talking to a Rams fan here.
I know, but I still wouldn't.
He was the only guy that produced on the Rams. I mean, he had one.
He missed concussion problems.
He missed four games at the end of his last season with the Rams, and he missed the first part of his first season with the Patriots. That's one stint in his career where he's had injury problems. That's not a pattern at this point.
And Edelman has a lot of worth, too, because he's a guy that can play defense
as well. He can move around, so I'd rather put money behind him than
Amendola.
He's also
a guy that played quarterback in college at Kent State.
And he's also a return man. He's a special teams guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of worth. I feel like it's a priority for them to re-sign Edelman because they don't want to see something happen. They don't want to see a guy who's been very productive for them leave again like what they saw with Wes Welker last season. So it'll be interesting to see. I think he kind of fits the Patriots, what they want to do there, and he fits into the system that Tom Brady likes to run.
And he's built himself up from being like undrafted, and they built him in the player that they want him to be other than just signing another guy because he fits the Wes Welker role better than Amendola.
Well, he does a lot for the Patriots, but it would not surprise me if the Patriots told him no thanks and just went on, because that's sort of the Patriot way, is next man up. They don't cater towards any one player, no matter who you are.
And that's why it's a sticky situation, too, is because of the money that they would be owing Amendola if they did, in fact, have to cut him, which that's what they're saying is if they do sign Edelman, there's a chance that they would have to cut Amendola, and I don't want to be paying someone that much money who's no longer employed by me. So.
Yeah, but teams do that all the time. That's a consistent thing.
The Patriots don't do that all the time.
Yeah,
they don't. But for a player at his caliber, I think he fits the offense so much better because they were perfectly fine without Danny Amendola there. They still won games. So I still think you can pay him, but you got to keep this guy who's so crucial to your team.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots are kind of like the rich man that's got the, it's kind of tight with his money.
Oh, he's a very thrifty team.
Yes.
Very thrifty, spendthrift sort of mentality.
You can kind of see that personality relayed through their head coach, too.
They go to the thrift shop, man, and they that's what their kids
really,
are.
Really, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like with Belichick. He kind of looks like he shops at the thrift
but
shop.
But think how long it's been since
those
we had
cut off hoodies or just lying in thrift shops.
Did you see what he had on? Him and Peyton Manning were golfing. After, I guess it was after the Super Bowl or whatever. It was like the week after the Super Bowl. Him and Manning were golfing. It was the first time I've ever seen him in anything besides a hoodie, and he looked like just very uncomfortable. It was like in the picture, it just looked like he was thinking, "Man, I want to cut the sleeves off these things."
That's like his natural face, though, is uncomfortable, isn't mm-hmm. it? Just like, why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. But what the other one other receiver that I wanted to talk about before we get into the defensive side of the, so we're going to get into the tight ends after that, is Golden Tate and Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin out of the NFC West. Anquan Boldin has been productive everywhere that he's been, and he's an interesting subject, because you know that you're going to have Michael Crabtree back healthy for the entire season next year, but at the same time, had they not had Boldin, I don't think they're anywhere where they were. I don't think they're anywhere close to where they were on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that first week against the Packers, I mean, he was a stud in that mm-hmm. game, and you know, he was their go-to guy when Crabtree was down. So I think they almost have to re-sign him, because I think he fit into that offense so well. And then Golden Tate. The Seahawks don't really have a number one go-to guy. They have a really just good group of receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know. I think Tate's not going to be re-signed, because they have cursed, and they also are paying a lot of money for Percy Harvin. And maybe
he'll be back healthy.
So
well, Golden Tate said that he's willing to be, you know, a little bit more lenient with Seattle, because he does feel some loyalty to the franchise. That's what he says at this point. Whether that really happens when people get in boardroom meetings, that's another thing entirely. But if I had to lean towards somebody re-signing with a team out of loyalty, I think Golden Tate has at least showed interest in that.
I think he would, if I'm Golden Tate, I would take a pay cut to stay with that team right now.
Yeah, I would too, personally.
I don't know. But I don't think he's been as productive. If I was him, I would go for the production, because I'm not a person that I'm going to go take the money. Well, I think you'd get more money other places, and I think he wants to, because I don't think he was the main receiver, and he could be that main receiver.
Well, the reason why he should stay in Seattle is because that he's not going to go somewhere else and be a main receiver. Is that he could be a very good role-playing receiver on Seattle and just parlay that into being, you know, I played my whole career in Seattle. I'll have restaurants. I'll have local deals. That, you know, just be one of those local celebrities.
I feel like he's a James Jones type of guy, though, that you hear about Jordy Nelson on the Packers, but no one hears about James Jones, and he got paid a lot to stay. So I don't know. I think he's just one of those guys that you don't hear about, and he seems like he wants to be a name after that interception touchdown type thing. He wanted to be more of a name.
Okay, so let's get into the tight ends here. I don't think we're actually going to have time to get into the defensive side of the ball. Maybe we'll do that next week when we're 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and finish up the offensive side of the ball here in the last couple of minutes of our segment here. Jimmy Graham and Dennis Pitta are the two top names, or Jimmy Graham specifically. He's been one of the perennial players in the league the last few years. He's led tight ends in receiving yards and receptions each of the last two seasons. And, you know, he's been in the top five in both of those categories of all positions. And here's the thing that's interesting about him. The Saints are going to have to pay him a lot of money. And they're considering franchise tagging him, which the franchise tag, the franchise tag period opened up yesterday. Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing about Jimmy Graham. He lined up 67% of his snaps when he lined up, he was not in a three-point stance, which means he was lined up as a wide receiver. That's the he's wanting to be paid as a wide receiver, and but he's listed as a tight end. That's a big amount of money difference between the wide receiver position and the tight end position if he is in fact franchise tagged.
About $5 million more for receivers than it is for tight ends, but we got someone shaking our head on the other side of the glass.
If he was to get paid as a tight end, the franchise number would be 4.8. As a wide receiver, it's closer to like 11.
Yeah, $6 to $7 million difference between the two positions. I mean, and honestly, I don't know. I think he should be paid as a tight end, because I mean he is a tight end, but he lines up. You know, that's part of the offense that he mm-hmm. plays in. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in an offense that they like to utilize the tight end in a very evolutionary way in this new era of offenses and stuff, and the new era of how they use tight ends. I mean, Tony Gonzalez lined up a lot. probably 40 to 50% of his snaps he lined up, not in a three-point stance, but he wasn't paid as a wide receiver.
Well, that number that you just said, as far as his 60-something percent of
67%.
The time, yeah, that was second in the NFL last year for people listed as tight ends behind Tony Gonzalez. It was the only other person who, on more percentage of his snaps, was in a two-point stance rather than a three-point stance in the slot.
And I don't know. I mean, he's a tight end. That's what he is.
They're both tight ends.
But when I look at it, if I was Drew Brees and that's the one receiver I want out of all of them, I say you take some sort of pay cut, because that's the problem, is Drew Brees is making so much money there, and he didn't take a pay cut for a lot of these wide receivers that he's going to need, and that is your primary receiver. I don't care about many of these other guys. This is your main guy that Drew Brees needs, because I think his numbers will go down significantly if there's no Jimmy Graham there. He's a safety blanket. He'll check down to him even more than anything else. So if that was Drew Brees, I would be like, I'll take a pay cut just if you can get me this guy.
And it's just crazy to think about. Jimmy Graham, he's a guy that's only about 4 years removed from playing basketball at the University of Miami, and then he just randomly decides to go out for the football team and stay for a fifth year in college. And now we're looking at him making millions and millions of dollars on a contract here. We're going to take a quick break. Coming back on the other side, we're going to talk about the NBA and try to squeeze in some Winter Olympic talk. We'll see where we're at. But you're listening to the student section on 90.7 The Capstone. My tongue.